Welcome to Spielin' and Dealin', the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle Sandy, the owner of SandySpiel.com, and with me, as always, is Ramin Forgani, my producer and moderator of the podcast. Ramin, it is finally here, sir. The state playoffs are here, and it's time for some bracketology, baby.
Oh, yeah, I'm so ready for this bracketology. Everything's been released, and we're ready to rock and roll come tomorrow.
I'm ready for it, man. So where do you want to start at? You want to go from 1A and work our way to 7A? How do you want to do this? I mean, you're the man here with the plan today.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, switch it up. We'll start down in A's. They were the most recently released brackets, and I know there were some controversy as to how late those brackets and those power ranking, I guess, seeding was released.
That is true, yeah. These coaches are trying to prep their teams up, and they're getting this stuff released in the afternoon on a Wednesday, and they've got to turn around and start playing games on Fridays and Saturdays. And a lot of these, you know, these schools are not close. You're going to have to drive. Some of these teams are going to have to drive about 3 hours, 4 hours away to play a game. So it's going to be a long travel day, and these coaches are trying to prepare for two to three different teams, and now the brackets are finally released. So they get a chance to really install some sets and get ready for these teams. But boy, they had to wait a long time. That's really rough, especially for the girls' side of things. And just in general, whoever has to play on Friday, they get about 1-2 days of turnaround. And hey, here we go. You're in the first round of the state playoffs. But I'm glad it's finally released. And hopefully these coaches, they're going to have to earn their money trying to get their teams ready with a short turnaround.
Indeed, and let's go right into some Class A, which you called basketball snubs. Class A public, number 5, Quitman County got the 9 seed out of 21-7 record.
Yeah, that really hurts them. They have a very talented team, very guard heavy, that can really score the ball. They have a lot of nice pieces there, so they really got hurt there. I mean, they played in a region that wasn't necessarily the strongest region over in Region 1, but that's with Calhoun County, who's been my number one ranked team pretty much the entire season. They played them close 3 times, almost knocked them off in the championship game, 66-63 they lost. But that's a tough draw for them. They get the number 9 seed. They're going to have to go and play a Dooley County team who has some upset potential. So they're going to have to be on their toes for that one. But Quitman County, a very tough team with Spud Nelson, a guy that really scores the ball well. He averages about 24 points a game. So Quitman County, I'd say a dangerous team with quick guards that can get up and down the court in a hurry. But Quitman County, a team to keep an eye on from that 9 spot.
And Wilcox County also got the 11 seed. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that was interesting. Just reading what I wrote here on SandySpiel.com, they took care of Turner County. They blew them out by a wide margin, 88-67, and then they lose to Clinch County, who gets the number 3 overall seed by only 10 points. But somehow Turner gets that 7 seed, and Wilcox gets 11 seed. And just like Quitman County, they're playing a team with some big-time guards over at Twiggs County. That's a sleeper. If you're looking for a sleeper in Class A public, Twiggs County with Zuri Brown and a handful of aggressive guards who gave Aquinas fits in the first half of their region tournament game. So, Twiggs County, that's going to be a tough one for Wilcox County. I'm going to be honest with you. I have Wilcox losing in the first round of Twiggs because Twiggs did start the season really hot. They kind of tapered off. They do have guard play, and good guard play goes a long way in the state playoffs.
So looking at the bracket for Class A public, Class A private, it looks like certain teams are getting a bye. And I know we talked about this in an earlier podcast, how they've increased the field this year. What do you think about the field being so much longer and so many teams having first round byes?
Yeah, you can say the same thing about Class A public on these. Some of those teams, 22, 23, 24, there's going to be some teams that aren't that great that are getting in there. I mean, a lot of times they had a hard enough time finding a top 10, but there's going to be some teams that, I mean, some pretty ugly records. You know, looking at teams like Riverside Military, who got the 23 seed. I mean, Mount Pisgah played in a pretty good region, but they get the 24 seed. That's pretty tough. And then you look at the teams that did get those byes. Athens Christian, who was never ranked in my rankings all season long, they play in that Region 8, which is notoriously weak. outside of Lakeview Academy. They get the 7th seed, and they get a bye. And that's very fortunate for them because they really don't have many quality wins, nothing to really hang their hat on to say. I mean, they beat Tallulah Falls in the region semifinals 52-49, but Tallulah really fell off a cliff at the end of the year after they started with about 20 straight wins. They really kind of tapered off a bit as well. So, looking at Athens Christian, and that's they're very fortunate, and they'll probably get First Presbyterian Day in that second round. And, I mean, I like First Presbyterian Day right there. They put in a tough region over in Region 7. See a lot of good private schools, a lot of good public schools. They're going to be battle-tested. That's going to be tough for Athens Christian to advance past the second round.
Over in the Class A private boys side, in the bottom left, St. Francis, they have the first round bye. And Aquinas, who we had the coach on one-on-one last week, they've been creeping up to your rankings. Number 3 is St. Francis the favorite?
Yes, they'll have to be the favorite. The only thing that worries me about St. Francis, they're very young. And with being young, that means your body usually is not fully maturely grown out. So you got Dwan Odom, who's a high flyer, but he's still not a sturdy, super thick guy. And if he's going up against a guy like Trey Gilmillion, who is going to go a legit 6'3", maybe 6'4", over 200 pounds easily, he is a big, strong guy. And if he locks him up or tries to defend him, I mean, Aquinas has some sturdy guards, and they're very defensive-minded. They're going to throw a lot of stuff at St. Francis, and we'll see how St. Francis's young talent can relate to that. Can they build off that? Can they take care of business? I know they got Drew Catlett's a great coach over there. He gets them to the Final Four state championship almost every single year. So St. Francis might have the most, or at least the more total talent on paper, but that youth, when you're playing about 3 freshmen, big time minutes and rely a lot on them, and you're playing Aquinas, you know, pretty much all juniors and have been through those wars, that's something to really keep an eye on. So I expect that to be a tight and physical contest. I kind of like Aquinas in that one, but boy, I would not be surprised if St. Francis is used. It's just way too much, and they just go on a rampage on them. But I really like that matchup. That is going to be a great one to get to a Final Four.
And we'll move on to the 2A boys. You deem the pod of death there is the bottom left. They got the number, you're ranked number 6, number 7, number 8, in Chattooga, Thomasville, and Monticello, respectively, and a respectable Swainsboro and Westside Augusta there.
Yeah, that is another one that's going to be very interesting. I mean, Monticello last year, they were the dark horse. They came out of nowhere, took a trip. I think they made it to the Final Four, actually, before they bowed out. That's a good team. I watched them play against Banks County in the Region 8 championship just the other week. They lost by, it was close to about 10 points or so. But that's a good team. They have a 6'6 guy, Malik Crawford, who's starting to turn some heads. He's only a sophomore. He's making some waves. He's a good player. He doesn't quite put up all the stats because he's playing somewhat of a second fiddle behind great guards like C.J. Adams, Ashton Bonner, who can really score the ball. But he does a lot of dirty work inside, around the paint. And if you want to look at other than that, I mean, Thomasville, that's a team that they've let me down a lot this year because of their guard play. But, boy, they got a 6'8 guy, Reggie Perry, going to Arkansas. He's only a junior right now. They got 6'9 Titus Wright, who's a sophomore. When you got big size like that, I mean, you should probably just overwhelm most of your opponents. So that is going to be the ultimate guards versus big men when they match up with Chattooga. And, of course, this is assuming if Thomasville beats Buckley County, who, they're a good team, and then Chattooga beats Temple. I believe Chattooga should take care of Temple. Temple's coming from a pretty weak Region 5, and Chattooga Region 7 is not very strong either. But Chattooga, they got two brothers that are going to end up going to Kennesaw State and playing football, Isaac and Isaiah Foster. They are spark plugs. They really ignite the offense. And Jay Shropshire, he is actually the region player of the year. And he's a versatile athlete, not super big, not a lot of size on that team. But that's a quick team that they win a lot of games. They only have one loss this year. They're 24-1 for a reason. So they know how to win, and that's going to be that's going to be great to see if they can match up and slay that David versus Goliath matchup with Thomasville. Can Thomasville finally piece it all together and ride their big men to a state championship? Very interesting to keep an eye on. And then, of course, looking at Westside Augusta, I mean, you never know what's going on over there. Marvin Fields, whoever it is, head coach, they don't want to report scores half the time. So they could be a great team. They could not be that good. We're not sure. That Augusta region has been a very much so of a head-scratcher. A lot of good teams, and they're beating each other. And then Swainsboro, who ended up winning the Region 2 title. Swainsboro is always a formidable team when it comes to the state tournament. So I really, really, really like that bottom left-hand bracket. It's going to be a war for whoever gets out of there and gets to the Final Four.
Laney in the top left bracket of 2A boys. Do they have any competition to get to the Final Four?
Well, 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 Laney. Let's see here. It's not the strongest bracket. It's not the strongest side up there. Hayfield Charter and Putnam County, those are two teams that they'll likely see in the second round. Putnam County's got Carl Johnson, who's averaging 27 points a game, player of the year in Region 8. He's an electric scorer, only about 5'8", gets a lot of his buckets in transition, but he's got that athleticism and speed that could really give Hayfield Charter, and if they do see Laney in the second round, some problems. So that's something that, I mean, he'll have to carry the load. I mean, DeMario Reed is a very nice second option as well for Putnam County, but of course they got to get past Hayfield Charter, who is nothing to sleep on out of Region 6. And then Dublin, I really like Dublin. Dublin's been putting in the top three all year long for the most part. They plummet down to number 10 because Cameron Paldo, he's averaging 26 points a game, great guard. He gets suspended for two games because of a technical, and he's tweeted out the video of why he got ejected and all this. It's kind of tough to tell if, you know, did he say something to the official or not, but they go from being in the top 10, they drop down all the way to number 10. They're playing Fitzgerald, who I think out of that Region 1, you never really know. I like those Region 1 teams. I liked them a lot last year. Early County's in that same region. Early County won that region. But Fitzgerald's a pretty good team from what it looks like. I do favor Fitzgerald to beat Dublin and possibly even see a Fitzgerald-Laney matchup in the Elite Eight. But Laney, I would have to say, they are the favorite. They do have a lot of wins. They've played a lot of close games, and they beat some good teams out of Augusta. So Laney would be my favorite coming out of that quadrant.
So give us your Final Four prediction for AA boys.
Well, we'll start with Laney. We will start off in the left side here. I actually think Monticello could put it together and find their way back in the Final Four. And if they do that, hats off to B.J. Thomas, because that is going to be a hellacious road to get through. On the top right side, I do like Banks County. I really liked what I saw in that Region 8 championship game. Darius Bonds is a Will Washington light at the point guard position, only a junior. He really swings the ball around, gets his big men involved. Kamal Wiley, Dylan Orr, that's some formidable size right there, good talent. Carl Cleveland, coach's son, he can stroke the ball from deep, and he's about 6'5 and has some meat on his bones. So I do like Banks County. And then on the bottom right, though, I think it all starts and stops with South Atlanta, just so powerful. Tyler Thornton, Region 6 Player of the Year, 6'7", lefty, unsigned. Devontae Pullins, you got Jalen Stiegel, so many good pieces right there for South Atlanta. I do like South Atlanta to end up winning the state championship.
Moving on up to 3A boys, you have the top left listed as your bracket of death, but the bottom left quadrant also looks a bit formidable.
Yeah, over in 3A, the bottom left, I like Liberty County, of course. I think they're definitely the team to beat. Islands is a team I've been high on, but really since they hit that mid part of the season, they've been up and down, up and down. Then we get the 3 seed coming out of Region 3 over in Savannah. Trey Broadnax, great guard. You got Justin Cave, all-time leading scorer, who's a senior over there, another good guard. Hugh Durham does some nice things, can stretch the floor. But if they win their first-round matchup, they'll likely see East Hall, who ended up winning Region 7 and upset GAC for the second time. Joe Dix is an absolute mastermind. He's got a young group over there, but he gets the job done. And East Hall is going to be tough to beat come state tournament because Joe Dix is such an outstanding coach. But Liberty County maybe could see Islands in that Elite Eight matchup. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's East Hall, but at the end of the day, I think Liberty County just has way too much firepower for that quadrant. and they should be making it back to the Final Four.
Let's give the right side of some of these brackets some love. GAC said they got upset. They are hosting a playoff game against the Lovett, which is the third team from Region 5. They are the second team from Region 7. How do you see that right upper quadrant shaking out?
Man, Lovett and GAC, those are two familiar teams for the most part. That's going to be tough for GAC. Ryan Greer, he's a superstar. He's a sophomore. He's a superstar point guard who probably doesn't get enough love. But there's another sophomore point guard for GAC that doesn't get enough love, and that's Hunter McIntosh. I saw him play as a freshman last year when they beat Holy Innocents, and boy, oh boy, he is just cool and collected. He gets the job done. I know he's starting to get some interest, and offers are going to start rolling in by the time he's a junior for sure, but I really love Hunter McIntosh. You got Charlie O'Brien inside, 6'8" guy going to Air Force. He can stretch the floor and do some good things. That's going to be a really interesting, tough matchup. I want to favor GAC there because I've been kind of on the bandwagon for much of the season. That's going to be a great game. And then you see Chris County, who doesn't have a great record. They're coming out of Region 1, ends up winning the region. They have a big-time scorer, Mr. Dean. He scores a lot of points. He throws a man in bucket loads. He averages about 25, 26 points a game. He can really get it going. And then on top of that bracket, I think Morgan County, not as good as years past, but Morgan County still has the goods to at least get to the Elite Eight, where I think they might see GAC. But, boy, like I want to preface this by saying I am not as sure on these brackets as I have been in the past. Parity is at an all-time high, which is going to lead to a lot of upsets, I think. But I do like Morgan County and GAC meeting in the Elite Eight.
So we've talked about the first-round matchups. Give us your Final Four for Class 3A.
Well, I got to go with Westside Macon, so that means Westside is going to end up beating Pace, who has Wendell Carter, Isaiah Kelly, Barrett Baker, a lot of great pieces there. I think Westside, they get over the hump this year with Kevon Moore, who just does so much, Simone Reed, Trey Foster, great guards. Ever since Contravious Jones, he's been a malcontent over there. He left, he went up to Connecticut, and I don't know what's going on with him. He's supposed to be going to Xavier. I don't know if that's still going to happen or not. So they lose a 7-footer that weighs about 300 pounds and was just, you know, they ran the offense to him, but they lose him. They haven't really lost a game since, I don't think. So Westside is looking great. Liberty County, like I said, you got Will Richardson. You got Davion Mitchell. Those two guys are going to combine for about 60 points every single night. Up top on the right side, I like GAC to get past Morgan County. Chris Hinton could be a difference maker with his size and beef inside. On the bottom right, I do like the Jenkins Warriors out of Savannah. They've been there the past 3 years for sure. Bakari Bryant, the press that get the thing going. Travion Lamar, Zion Williams, a lot of good talent right there. And I see Westside and Jenkins possibly in the state championship. So we'll see what happens, but this is a bracket that is going to be a lot of fun.
Look at you even giving us a little bonus prediction with the state championship lineup.
I know, I shouldn't have done it. I'll just leave it at the Final Four. I'm sorry, everybody.
Over to Class 4A.
Yeah, there's some good talent over here. I like Region 1 has some interesting teams coming out. Shaw is a good team. They got the 3 seed. You look at American Center with the 2 seed. You look at Westover, a very good 4 seed that I would not be surprised if they beat Baldwin, who won Region 3, and then Carver Columbus ended up winning that Region 1. But if we would just want to start on the top left side, boy, that's going to be a tough one. I see LaGrange wins Region 5, so they beat up on Cartersville and Sandy Creek. But they're likely going to see Shaw or Richmond Academy in the second round. And Richmond Academy, D.T. Stevens, Moses Williams inside. There's a lot of good pieces there. Henry County, who came out of Region 4, and they've won. They're pushing about 18 straight wins now. They're clicking on all cylinders. They have such great guard play. Bottom left-hand side, Upson Lee is undefeated for a reason. They have some great talent. Ty Fagan is a budding superstar. He's a junior. Top right, St. Pius is a well-coached team. They're going to have to probably see either Mary Persons or Eastside in the second round. And bottom right, Sandy Creek. Sandy Creek probably has a favorable quadrant on that bottom right. But, I mean, there's teams like Druid Hills that are playing out of their mind right now, and it's going to be a challenge for them to get to the Final Four.
And you talked about Sandy Creek having a easier path, even though they are a second team out of a region.
Yeah, it's just consequence of the bracket. Sometimes, I mean, you're never going to say, oh, let's lose this game on purpose so we match up better, blah, 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 because there's too much going on, too many moving pieces to really know how it shakes out for them. But, boy, you'd rather be Sandy Creek than LaGrange right now. And we just mentioned LaGrange is stuck there with Shaw, Richmond Academy, Henry County, and Sandy Creek, who they have. I mean, Westover, Baldwin in the second round, and then outside of that, I mean, Druid Hills, Perry, Madison County as a four seed. White County is well coached, so you can't really look past the Sam Borg coach team. But, man, Sandy Creek on paper, they really do have a nice route to get to the Final Four.
And you should know it's coming by now. Give us your Final Four prediction for Class 4A.
I am going with Henry County. I am going with Upson Lee, Running Knights. Top right side, I'm going with the three seed. I'm going with East Side. Bottom right, I'm going with Sandy Creek. I think they just have a lot of pieces there. Evan Jester, Jared Godfrey, J.J. Wilkins, just a lot of good pieces that have played well together. I think they have enough juice to get to the Final Four.
And we'll keep on moving up to 5A. Buford, I believe, has been ranked the number one for a long time in your rankings, but they are stuck in that upper right quadrant with Warner Robins.
Yes, they are. I love Buford, though. They passed every single test. I mean, you beat Cedar Shoals 3 times in a season. I mean, you're doing something. Like, Cedar Shoals is a damn good team, and they took care of them 3 times. First two in heartbreaking fashion, third time in the region championship. You know, they really kind of put their foot on them. So Buford is as good as advertised. But man, they got a kind of a tough second-round matchup. Union Grove or New Hampstead. New Hampstead last year, they upset Upson Lee in the first round as a 4 seed. Arante Anderson, he's a small little 5'8 guard. I believe he's a lefty, but man, he can stroke the 3. They got some size inside. They have a lot of nice pieces there. That's going to be a war with that Union Grove, New Hampstead game. Southwest DeKalb, their record's not that great, but they put in that good Region 5. They earned the 3 seed. They had some early season great competition. They played a lot of good teams and had some nice results. I believe I had them ranked number 2 or number 3 at one point early in the season. So Southwest DeKalb with Eugene Brown coaching, they are very dangerous. And then, of course, Warner Robins, Nelson Phillips, Jacoby Owens, Jadon Norman. There's just a lot of good players right there, and it's a tough-nosed team. So if they do end up seeing Buford in the Elite Eight, they're not going to back down. That's going to be a physical game. That's one I would really love to see watch unfold in person.
You talked about Cedar Shoals. They're in the bottom left quadrant with the one team, Statesboro and Villarica.
I like Cedar Shoals to get back to the Final Four. They lost in heartbreaking fashion to Allatoona last year, but I really like the road. Jackson, Atlanta, you got to be careful of Maynard Jackson. Jaquavius Hayes, he's a good big man, 6'6", double-double machine. They have a nice shooter, Carter, on the wing. Got to be careful of them, but if they take care of business, then they're probably going to see it. Looks like Statesboro, who's really been a thorn in New Hampstead's side, beat them 3 times to win Region 2. Statesboro with Lee Hill, great head coach. They have a lot of good guards over there as well, but on that bottom side, veterans, Josh Linder, 6'7" guy going to Georgia State. He's pretty good. Lithoni has been super up and down this year with some great wins and some very bad losses. They have a red-hot Villarica team they have to deal with in the first round, but I really like Cedar Shoals in that bottom left-hand bracket. They just take care of business. Land Fleming, he's a stud. He's going to be playing in Charleston next year, but hey, Dreco is a great coach, Dreco Thomas. I really do like the Jaguars.
So, Kyle, give me your Final Four for a Class 5A boys bracket.
In Class 5A, I'm going to go with Old Faithful, and that would be Miller Grove, even without Coach Charmin White, who is now an assistant at Georgia State University. I think Miller Grove has what it takes. I like their guards, Jalen Mason, Tay Hardy. Got a lot of good pieces right there, and they're starting to come together. I think they will have just enough to get into the Final Four. On the bottom left-hand side, C Cedar Shoals. That is a great team. Ladreco Thomas does a great job over there. Flan Fleming will be playing his college ball in Charleston next year. He's a great player and a great kid at that. I think Cedar Shoals makes a trip back to the Final Four after suffering some heartbreaking losses last year when they lost to Alatoona. They put them out in the same round. And on the other side, Buford is as good as advertised. I think Buford takes care of business. They slip by Warner Robins in that Elite Eight matchup, and Buford will be heading to the Final Four with Coach Eddie Martin leading the way. And on that bottom right-hand side, Fayette County Tigers. I think Noah Gurley is the real deal. He's a lean, mean shot-blocking machine, 6'7". Going to Furman, they have some nice guards around him, Philip Young, Austin Naismith, etc. There's a lot of good talent there. So I got Miller Grove, Cedar Shoals, Buford, and Fayette County.
All righty, we'll keep it moving to Class 6A. On the boys' side of the ball, you got your pod of death as the bottom right there with number 3 Jonesboro, number 4 Lakeside Evans, number 7 Alatoona, number 10 Richmond Hill.
Yeah, there's a lot of good talent down there. I think it's going to be a grind for whoever escapes that bracket and gets to the Final Four. They're going to be very battle tested. I think everybody knows everything starts and stops with Jonesboro, but this Jonesboro team isn't quite what they've been the past 3 years. They won 2 state titles and were denied a three-peat last year when Liberty County defeated them. They still have MJ Walker, who is an All-American, but if they get past Richmond Hill, a very tough team out of Region 2, they're going to most likely face Alatoona, and we all know about Alatoona. Marcus said that defense has just made so many great players look so bad. Even last year when they lost by 2 points in the state championship, Altrick Gilbert looked like a mere human. He had, I don't know, about 14 points or so, but they did a great job on him. Alatoona's going to throw the kitchen sink at Jonesboro this season. Alpharetta, they were 25-3 out of that Region 7. They were the team to beat all year long, and they got beat. And they slipped to the 3 seed, and they play Tri-Cities, who comes out of that great Region 5. And they're playing some very good basketball. Coach Sports has a lot of good sets out there, going to make you play a lot of defense. That's an interesting matchup right there, that Region 7 versus Region 5. I've been saying Region 5 is probably the best region in the state for Class 6A, at least, depth-wise. And then Region 7, I've kind of poo-pooed them over there. But that'll be interesting to see how the Region 7 teams fare against Region 5. They bow up and they don't back down, and they take care of some business and pull a couple upsets. That'll be fun to see. And then that final number one seed is Lakeside Evans. I think they're going to be either boom or bust. Kalen Williams can get hot and carry the team, but he has to do a lot of creating, creates a lot of shots for Brad Hilly in the corner, and then Deion Berrien's a great active piece around the basket, about 6'5". He does a lot of very good things, but Lakeside just hasn't seen that level of competition that a lot of these other teams have seen throughout the season. So Lakeside, either they're going to make a great run at it, or they might be one and done. So that's something I would really keep an eye on. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And if they do get a second-round matchup with either Alpharetta or Tri-Cities, that's just another great chance for Coach Jeffrey Williams' team to make a statement and prove that they are really for real and they really deserve that number 4 ranking in the entire state.
So, Kyle, give us your 6A Final Four.
All right. This is going to be a great one. A lot of these brackets are very tough, but this is one that going to be fun to watch unfold. I got South Paulding, who's been my number one for most of the season. I think South Paulding and Gil Davis, Kane Williams, Ja'Cory Wilson, I think they get the job done and they get to the Final Four, but it won't be easy, of course. On that bottom left-hand side, I've kind of been debating between Dacula and Brunswick. Dacula and Brunswick. I end up going with Brunswick, Daquan Humphreys, Marcus Scott, Lampkin. They have the big fella, Kamani Dunham, inside, who's going to College of Charleston. He's a big space eater. He has a state championship pedigree back when he was a sophomore when they beat Alatoona in the championship. So Brunswick, I think they get back to the Final Four. On the other side, Gainesville's just been too powerful all year long. I think Gainesville has enough to take care of business as long as they stay healthy, don't have any extracurricular activities getting in the way. I think Gainesville and Coach Benji Wood, they definitely have enough to make a deep, deep run to state. And then on that bottom right-hand side, it's not by a long shot, but I think I'm going with Jonesboro. When you have MJ Walker, who's going to be the best player on the floor every single night, you have a chance. Coach Nailman does a good job at defense. He's so tough-nosed. They got Jamari Smith back healthy. Jalen Terrell going to Navy. There's a couple pieces there to work with, and I think Jonesboro finds himself back in the Final Four.
So before we move on to 7A, I was just looking here at the bracket, and the Final Four for 6A is going to be at Fort Valley State. I know you like off-the-cuff questions, Kyle, so can you enlighten us as to where Fort Valley State is?
I'm going to say that's somewhere around the Macon-ish area. I am not 100% sure, but I think it's somewhere in the realm of Macon. Does that sound good with you? Does that sound good? Anyone want to do a quick Google search on Fort Valley State? I'm going to say it's around Macon.
Sounds as good to me as it does to you, but I guess secondary question, why would the 6A Final Four be at Fort Valley State out of all places?
Ramin, you're a man with great questions. That is a very good question. I'm not too sure. I mean, we already know about Buford not being able to hold 7A anymore. We'll probably talk about that. But, yeah, that's a good question. They just like to throw it out there in the outskirts and make everybody travel, but let's just hope they have Wi-Fi there and the rims are the correct length and the court's all nice. And let's just hope it's a good facility and Fort Valley State has a good showing.
One can hope. Over in Class 7A, that's kind of the class with the most parity in the state. In the top left bracket, Grayson's at the very top, and I know that's one you like very much, a team that's been a sleeper. And Milton at the bottom of that top right quadrant, they've seemed to click on all cylinders. They won their region championship. They're hosting a home game. What do you see in the top right quadrant of 7A?
Well, on that left side, we saw Milton. You're right. Milton's trying to piece together the puzzle. Sean Rebels, Julian Barfield taking over for Matt Kramer in the middle of the season. And they finally solved that puzzle, which was Lambert, and they won that region. So they get the number one seed. But I'm going to tell you right now, my upset specialist, Brookwood, beating Milton in the first round, that's a forbidding of one. When you look at that Region 7, who's the Region 7 Player of the Year? It's not Al Durham, who's going to Indiana from Berkmah. It's not Lance Thomas, who's going to Louisville from Norcross. It's not Rayshon Hammonds, also of Norcross, who's going to Georgia. It was Bubba Parham, an unsigned senior guard. He's averaging over 20 points per game. He has just been everything for that team. Him and Trey Higginbotham have done a great job. Marcus Smith out there as well. Brookwood is very tough. They're a lot better than what their number four seed is. Coach Bowles does a very good job. I think Brookwood might go to Milton and upset the Eagles. So that is one I would definitely keep an eye on. And if we want to touch on that group of death over there on the right side, I mean, Westlake, defending state champions, Newton, who was, you know, hanging around the top 10 in the nation all year long before an upset loss to Shiloh. Berkmah, who's ranked, and they got, just mentioned, Al Durham. They got Zach Cooks going to NJIT. Jay Esteem, one of the best unsigned shooters in the state. And then Tiff County, coming out of South Georgia, powerhouse, said, you know, are they good enough? Well, we never know. They got a big man, P.J. Horn, going to Virginia Tech, just recently committed down there. And we all know the Blue Devils are going to be tough, and they're not going to back down from any of these Metro Atlanta teams. So that top right quadrant is going to just be a hellacious battle to see who comes out of it. Basically, there's going to be a couple games there that would be, you know, worthy of being a state championship game. You could have Westlake Newton in the second round. That could be a state championship game. You could have Newton versus Tip County or Berkmah or Westlake versus Lubbs. A lot of great matchups over there on that right side, and it's just going to be, it's a shame that some of those teams are going to be going home in the second round instead of having a trip to the Final Four of the Elite Eight.
Going on over to the bottom right side, and there are some interesting matchups over there. Wheeler's down there. Mill Creek got the at-large bid, and McEachern is at the very bottom of the bracket.
Yes, sir. McEachern, they look very good. They look very good on that bottom right-hand bracket. Now, they're going to have to get past Mill Creek, who won the at-large bid. Coach David Allen does a great job. Crimson Mancius, he just does everything. He's a throwback player that is not the super sexiest, not flying out of the gym, not hitting threes from half-court. but he does a lot of great things. He's a leader. Kendall Latney, definitely a freshman you got to keep an eye on. He is a strong guard that has come on as of late, but they're going to end up seeing McEachern, which is, I mean, they're the number one team in the state. They're undefeated, and for good reason. And McEachern's going to run into either Meadow Creek or Lambert in the second round. That's not going to necessarily be an easy matchup for McEachern. And then on that top side of the right side, of course, Wheeler, who's going up against Roger Quam, who I think is the best boys head coach in Cherokee County history, who always gives Wheeler problems, even when he doesn't have those horses that Wheeler always has. But, I mean, Coach Quam, he out-coaches them all the time, and he's going to muck things up, and it's going to be in Canton, and it's going to be a packed house. It's going to be a lot of red up there. Wheeler's going to have to play well because they're going to outnumber them with the talent and the size and the D1 prospects. But if Phil Cirillo is healthy and he's getting hot, he can do some things. Jack Carroll, Eli Mayberry, there's a couple decent pieces for Coach Quam to work with. And if you want to look at that left side, the bottom of the bracket, Norcross and Pebblebrook, they very well may meet in the Elite Eight. Pebblebrook nipped him the first time, but if there's a rematch, I think Jesse McMillan's going to have the Blue Devils ready to try and get back to the Final Four.
And we mentioned Mill Creek as the at-large team. This is a new from last year, and I guess it's due to how many teams are in each region and one only being able to send three because their region isn't large enough. But how does the math work behind that at-large bid selection?
Yeah, I'm not much of a mathematician, but I know they go by using that kind of like power rating system, and then, you know, 5 points for a win here, 0 points for a loss, something here. It's all kind of convoluted. Let's just hope that Mill Creek, you know, comes out and plays very well against McEachern and gives them a game, because if they, I don't foresee it happening, but if they come out and get beat by 40 points or something terrible like that, boy, you look at teams that got left out in the cold, like Discovery, who was sitting there around, I don't know, 18-9, 18-10, somewhere in that area, who has some good pieces. Jalen Bussey, nice big guy inside, Kalu, some good talent over there, but they got shut out of making it to the state tournament for the first time in school history. That's a tough pill to swallow. But I'm sure Coach Allen will have Mill Creek ready to compete with McEachern, and hopefully this whole at-large bid thing, it's not going to be too much of a black eye for the GHSA this year.
So, Carl, give us your Class 7A Final Four predictions.
Okay, what do we got here? Well, I'll start with the interesting stuff first. I'm going to go with Norcross is going to get to the Final Four, and that means they're going to most likely end up having to beat Pebblebrook or Shiloh or Duluth, one of those teams. I think Norcross has the goods. When you got two 6'8", 6'9 guys that can play inside, and you have Jordan Goldwire, Kyle Sturdivant, Dalvin White, you got some nice pieces on the perimeter and a great head coach. And then you got Brandon Boston. Can't forget about this freshman that moved in from Holy Spirit Prep. This kid can play. He's long, lean. He looks all every bit of a youngster, but he can give him a nice spark in the postseason. I like him. And, of course, JoJo Thompson, cannot forget about another 6'6 guy. Comes off the bench and is just an energizer, buddy. That bottom right-hand side, I think McEachern finds a way to get to the Final Four. Now, that means they're going to have to beat some good teams, and most likely they'll probably have to face Wheeler again, who they beat earlier in the season. But even if it's Wheeler, if it's Mountain View, if it's Southwest, somebody else, I do like McEachern representing that bottom right quadrant. On that top right group of death, boy, I'm going with the Newton Rams. I like Newton all year long with those guards, Ashton Hagans, J.T. Note, Isaiah Miller, just mismatch problems all over the court. I know they're going to be looking for some sweet revenge against Westlake, who knocked them out last year deep, deep, deep in the tournament and held them back from making a state title appearance. So I think Newton gets the job done. And on that left side, where it's kind of a toss-up, we only have one team in the top 10 currently, which is Collins Hill. But I think I have Grayson making an appearance in the Final Four. I like Travis Anderson. He can score with the best of them from his guard position. Only a junior. You got Kenyon Jackson inside, a shot blocker. He can pair up with Gerald Buncombe, who does a lot of great things inside as well. So Grayson can punish some teams on the glass and defend the paint very well. And I think Grayson has as good a shot as anybody on that top left quadrant
to take a trip to the Final Four.
Before we get over to the girl side, where you're going to give us your Final Four predictions, there's a bit of a controversy with GHSA dragging its feet on releasing the finals locations for all of these games.
Yes, sir, there is. You would think they would get their stuff in line, but apparently not. I don't know. It's just another case of the Wizard of Oz hiding behind the curtain and, you know, disrespecting the fans, the players, the coaches, and not letting us know what's what. You know, there's no transparency here with the GHSA. We know all about that. That's a shame. You would think they would learn. We moved the state championships to Georgia and Georgia Tech, which is a great start, but for the love of gosh, can we please let us know which classification is playing where? There's no reason to withhold it, and if there is a reason to withhold that information, you got to be straight up and tell the truth with us. Tell us, why are you holding this stuff back from us? I don't know if it's an attendance thing. We're going to try and put the teams closest to here and there, something like that. If that's the case, just let us know. That's why it's going to be flexible. But hopefully they get this stuff in line and we find out sooner rather than later, and we can start mapping out where we're going to go see all these great teams play for the state title.
Do you think it's conceivable that the GHSA does not know where the finals are going to be played yet?
Yeah, I never put anything past old GHSA. That's some good old folk up there, but hopefully they get this all in line and they put together a great state title weekend. I mean, you can only go up from last year. I'm just, like I said, hoping and praying there's no dirty diapers or cracks in the floor and all the lights are actually turned on and teams aren't getting told to pay to park their bus that are playing in the championship. So hopefully it's a lot better than last year.
We'll take it over to the girls' side for your Final Four predictions. Class A private, the Class A's have seen their fields expanded to 24 teams, an increase from last year, and a lot more teams that typically wouldn't have made it have made it now. So give me your Final Four in Class A private.
I think the easy one off the top of your head, we all know it's going to be St. Francis, it's going to be Holy Innocents, it's going to be Wesleyan. We know that. That's going to happen. There's no way those teams are getting upset. I'm giving you my stamp of approval. Those three teams will be in the Final Four. Now, that bottom right side bracket, you got Lakeview as a 3 seed and then Calvary Day as a 6 seed. Both those teams get byes. I mean, Hannah Grogan, she's a prolific scorer, all-time leading scorer at Lakeview Academy. They have some good pieces. I saw them run up the score on Tallulah Falls. I mean, it was a high-scoring game. They didn't beat them by 40 or anything, but it was a high-scoring game. They can score the ball. They press all over the place. But I think I'm going to give it to Calvary Day just because of strength of schedule with that Savannah region over there. I think Calvary Day is going to make a trip to the Final Four to round it out. So that's St. Francis, Holy Innocents, Wesleyan, and Calvary Day.
Your A public predictions.
Oh, another fun one. I kind of enjoy A public. It's been fun trying to track these teams and see what's going on. But Telford County is the number one overall seed. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I do agree that they are probably a top three team for sure, but I got Telford County making it. I got Woodville Tompkins, another one of those tough teams from that Savannah area who has seen Calvary Day and Trutland and all those guys in that region down there. So I like Woodville Tompkins on that top right side. Wheeler County, I'm going with Wheeler County, another team from that Savannah region. And then on that bottom right side, I'm telling you right now, the team to beat, Pelham, is going to win the state title this year. The Hornets are the real deal. Like I said, I'll take this to the bank, put a mortgage on it. If they lose, I am going to be flabbergasted. Pelham is the best girls team in Class A public, hands down. I got Pelham. So the Final Four, Telfair versus Woodville Tompkins. And I have Wheeler County versus Pelham, and I got Pelham going all the way this year. No doubt about it. I love Pelham this year.
You feel so emboldened as to go beyond the Final Four and give your vote of confidence all the way to the championship for Pelham.
Yeah, I'm not telling you. Pelham's a real deal. This is a team that's been stuck in 2A the past however many years, and every single time they would get stuck in the Elite Eight. I'm not sure if they ever made the Final Four, but they would always get eliminated by Holy Innocents or one of these private schools. All those private schools are gone now. They dropped down to Class A public, and this Pelham team's dang good. I'm telling you, they don't have to worry about Holy Innocents or any of those teams. And when everybody else, all those other public schools, would lose the Holy Innocents and Wesleyan and all those type schools, they would get blown out by about 30, 40 points. Pelham, when they would lose, and they would lose by about 10 points. So Pelham, you know, private or public, Pelham's a dang good team, and I think Pelham's going to run away with this Class A public championship.
Before we move on to Class 2A, just going to remind everyone that seeding for Class A was determined by those power rankings, which is a mathematical formula. No region tournaments or such to determine seeding there.
Yeah, there's I believe that if you win your region, you get an automatic bye in the first round, which that makes sense. I agree with that. And the other part, you know, wins, losses, the system can be manipulated. But I think for the most part, especially for the girls, these top rankings of these top teams that have byes in the first round, I actually don't have any problems with any of the teams that got byes. I think everyone pretty much deserved it. Truland, maybe that number 7 seed, maybe they didn't deserve it as much as someone else did, but I think it worked out very well. As far as like 1 through 3, 1 through 8 goes, I mean, Pelham's definitely the best team in the state, but I think it worked out pretty well this year, actually.
Give me your prediction for Class 2A, Kyle.
Class 2A, it's tough that Dodge County has to play Lania in the Elite Eight if they both get there. I've been saying the only team that can challenge Lania is Dodge County, I think, in Class 2A. But I think Lania's just too good with Deshaun Benjamin back, Aubrey Bonner. I got Lania in the Final Four, that bottom left-hand side. Again, that's a tough one, but I'm going with model with Victoria Saxton. She's about 6'2", 6'3", post player that can just absolutely dominate games. She is a stud, so I like model. On the top right side, I loved Raven County in the Region 8 Championship when I saw the beat banks. They just move the ball around. They shoot threes, super skilled. They press, they get after it. I love the Lady Cats, but I think Fitzgerald coming out of Region 1 is just going to have enough dog in him to take down Raven and be able to handle their pressure. So I got the Lady Hurricanes making a trip to the Final Four. And on that bottom right-hand side, this one, there's not a lot of super powerhouse teams down here, so it could be a fun one to see shape out. But I think Hapeville Charter gets the job done. Number one seed out of Region 6, Shanika Howard. She's a high major prospect. I think she leads the way, and I see Hapeville Charter in the Final Four.
Moving on up to Class 3A, give us your Final Four there.
3A, it all starts and stops down in South Georgia over on the coast. That's Savannah. So I got Beach making the Final Four. I have Johnson, the Atom Smashers, making the Final Four on the opposite side of the bracket. Then on the bottom left side, I have GAC, who I think they could be the most talented team in Class 3A. They have some big-time studs, a lot of girls go in Division One that can really play, so I really like GAC, Robin Benton, and a couple other pieces. Very nice. And on that top right-hand side, Morgan County. Morgan County came out of nowhere to win the region this year after a very slow start. They scheduled some very good competition, took their lumps early on, but Tatiana Davis is still there. She is a big-time player. They are the defending state champs, and even though they're only about 15-13, I think Morgan County is finally piecing together the puzzle, so I think they get to the Final Four. So I see a Beach versus GAC on the one semifinal, and on the other semifinal, I see Morgan County versus Johnson, Savannah, the Atom Smashers.
Moving on up to Class 4A, lots of recognizable names jumping out as I look at the bracket here.
Yes, this is going to be another great one. I think North Clayton, they've won about 18 straight games there. It's just flaming hot. I think North Clayton will get the job done and just ride this momentum into the Final Four after starting 2-7. The bottom of this bracket is just brutal. Starting on this left-hand side, you got West Hall in there with Anna McKendry, who is just a stud scorer. Then you got Columbus, who has the big girls inside, going to Alabama, and another one going elsewhere in a high major conference. I believe that's in the SEC as well. I can't remember off the top of my head. They can flat out play. They got, some size there. And then on the top of that bracket, you got North Oconee, too. But with all that being said, I think somehow, some way, North Oconee finds a way to get to the Final Four out of a very stiff field.
on the right side, I think Jefferson takes care of business to get there out of Region 8. And then on the bottom of the right side, I'm telling you, whoever wins America Sumter versus Cross Creek is going to the Final Four. You rewind. A week ago, America Sumter was ranked number 2 in the state, and Cross Creek was number 1. America Sumter fell off in that Region 1 tournament. That really hurt them. They slipped to a 4 seed. But I think Cross Creek, Elaine Davis is too much inside. Big Memphis signing. I think Cross Creek punches their ticket to the Final Four. So North Clayton versus North Oconee, and then Jefferson versus Cross Creek.
In Class 5A, it's mostly been Buford and everybody else.
Buford is the real deal. They are the real deal. They get the job done. I think they're a slam dunk pick to get to the Final Four. Of course, they're going to have to get past some tough teams. Teams like Warner Robins are going to have a bone to pick with them if they both meet there in the Elite Eight. But I like Buford. I like Maynard Jackson. They have some size. Got some key transfers in the offseason from Southwest Atlanta Christian. And they had Dominique Banks. She's about legit 6'4", 6'5". She's all arms and legs. She's going to cause a lot of problems inside. On the bottom left-hand side, I think Flowery Branch has enough to get the job done, even though they haven't quite been playing at that top 100% accuracy of what we always come to see them play with. But I think Tania Worth, she is a stud forward that does so much for them. They got Julianne Southern inside. Just a lot of great pieces for Coach Newton over there. And then on the top left, Southwest DeKalb, I think they have a chance to repeat. I like Southwest DeKalb, and I think Buford and Southwest DeKalb would be a wonderful championship in Class 5A.
The landscape in Class 6A has shifted somewhat dramatically since 2 weeks ago. Let's see if it affects your Final Four picks.
Man, when Harrison dropped to Creekview in the Region 6 title, that threw a monkey wrench into everything. Harrison was ranked number 1 in the state since week 2, and that loss just, man, that hurts them. Sydney Wiggins is still on crutches. I think she might have re-injured something, tweaked something. She's on crutches, and she's her best player. She's going to Rice. But with her out, that really hurts them. They're going to have to play teams like Tucker or Douglas County, all these great teams. And with that being said, I really do like Douglas County to come out of that side of the bracket. I have Douglas County ranked number 1 in the state for a reason. They have some great talent over there, and they really get after you. On the bottom left-hand side, I know you know them well, Northview Lady Titans. It's a pretty favorable bracket for them. I mean, you got to be careful of Stevenson, Brunswick, River Ridge, and Gainesville, all very good teams. But if Northview can handle their business, I like Northview punching their first ticket ever to the state Final Four. Got to stay out of foul trouble, of course. Depth is an issue. Guard play has been a lot better this year than in years past. They have some reliable ball handlers, but I do like Northview. And then on that top right side, Winderboro, even without Olivia Nelson-Odoa, the number 1 ranked junior in the nation, 6'4", center. I still think Winderboro has enough. Shelia Watson, Lexi Maddox, others get the job done. And then on that bottom right-hand side, I think Grovetown Destiny Marshall is a big-time scorer. She's going to be playing in college. I believe she's playing in Charleston. She can really fill it up. I really do like Grovetown out of Augusta to make a trip to the Final Four.
And now for your final four selections of this Bracketology special, Class 7A girls.
Class 7A. Well, I think we all know that McEachern is trying to win another state title, and they very well might do so, but I got Collins Hill making it to the Final Four. I got Norcross making it as well, so Collins Hill versus Norcross on the left side. On the right side, I think Archer has just enough to take a trip, and then on that bottom right-hand side, I have McEachern back in the mix in the Final Four and going for yet another state title.
Well, Kyle, I think we've hit all 16 brackets in GHSA basketball today.
Yeah, it was. It's fun. This is when the crazy stuff starts to happen. I'm eager to see who makes me look like an idiot and who makes me look like a genius. That's the best part
of this year is saying, wow, I thought I knew what I was talking about all year long, just to see everything fall into shambles and everything get ruined and my bracket get busted. But if you want to join this fun bracketology and all this good stuff we have going on over here, February Frenzy is live and ready to go. You can find out some information on sandyspill.com. I have a post with all the directions. You can find the directions also on my Twitter account, at KyleSandyBrief55. Just submit, boys only, submit your bracket, one classification, or one for each classification, so you can do all seven, all eight classifications, however you want to do it, and get that to me by noon on Friday, because games tip off on Friday. I know this podcast is coming out most likely late Thursday, but try and get that in as soon as possible, and it's just fun. It keeps things interesting. Just like March Madness with college basketball, it's fun to keep track of things and try and gain some bragging rights over other high school basketball fans.
Well, Kyle, I'll be sure to fill out my bracket and send it in to you before tomorrow at noon. And it's been fun talking bracketology.
Ramin, it's been a blast. I know me and you will be back next week to break down all the madness that is going to be going on. And boy, I know we're going to have a lot to cover. But thank you again, everybody, for listening. This has been Spielin' and Dealin', the bracketology episode. And we got some more fun stuff coming, so I'm looking forward to it. And get out to your gyms, your local gyms, and go support these athletes and these coaches.
Ramin Fergani from here signing off.
And this is Kyle Sandy. We will see you next week.